الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته to all my listeners and one of my fam. It is yes another day and Naz is back on the Hidden Agenda show. Today we have another riveting show. And inshallah, I'll be welcoming back international celebrity, you could say, international host from Harun Yahya organization, Dr. Babuna, representing, obviously, Harun Yahya. And we will be obviously taking up some quite riveting questions and presenting the show and obviously putting some questions forward so that they can be answered. Okay, let's move on. Let's bring my international celebrity onto the radio. And let's get the show on the road, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Is that Dr. Babuna?
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, brother. How are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm well, not bad at all. How is Ramadan going for the Muslims in Turkey?
Excellent, alhamdulillah. There is very good times we're living in, inshallah, alhamdulillah. We had a live TV show before that. We had another radio connection to New Zealand, alhamdulillah. And we are with our Muslim brothers and sisters there, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, that's very good. As I understand, it's very different, Ramadan, in a Muslim country like Turkey, as opposed to England. Here, you know, we go by the times when it's the time we open our fast, or if we get together with our family or relatives or close Muslim friends, or the masajid, and only there will we see Ramadan, you can say, in full effect. But I heard that in Muslim countries it's very different.
Yes, but more important is, inshallah, this is Ramadan for all the Muslims all around the world. And remember, there are many Muslims oppressed all around the world. So it's our obligation to struggle in the way of Allah, to rescue our brothers and sisters in Iraq, Afghanistan, East Turkestan, Somali, and many other countries, inshallah, also.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Alhamdulillah. That's good. And how have you been keeping? You keeping well yourself?
Alhamdulillah. There is no time to lose, inshallah. We are struggling very hard in the way of Allah. Alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. Some people have this opinion, Dr. Babuna, that when it comes to Ramadan, let us just relax and let us just do the tazkiyah. I mean, just the ibadah, just, you know, reading Quran all day and just to do a salah and just to do nafal. Is that the only limitation, or should we do more? Should there be other aspects that we should be covering, or should we just sit and read Quran alone? Not to say there's anything wrong with that, alhamdulillah, that's a good thing, but is that the only thing that Muslims are obliged to do?
Yes, of course. And the model of the Muslim, Allah describes in the Quran, is not a home mujahid, inshallah. Allah wants us to struggle with our wealth and health, Allah says, with our lives and wealth, to struggle in the way of Allah. That means we cannot stop, because since our brother Muslims are being martyred in many countries, and Muslim sisters are being raped in many countries, and Muslim children are being martyred in many Muslim countries, we don't have any time to sit back and relax, inshallah. The only thing we can do is struggle in the way of Allah until there is no more fitna, Allah says. Until the deen is Allah alone, Allah says in the Quran, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, I mean, I want to start the show with one aspect of it, and that is, if we look at Islam and we look at the popularity of it, we see that maybe over the last 100 years, Islam is gathering more and more. I was going to say, so the first question I wanted to start off with is, especially in England, I don't know maybe how it is in Turkey or other European countries, but certainly in England, France, Germany, there is quite a significant number of people who are accepting Islam, who are seeing Islam. And some people may say because Islam is quite publicized, maybe not through positive events, but certainly quite publicized, quite a lot of talks and debates are happening in the Western countries. Why is there such a rise of Islam if the media sees it negatively? Why do you see people coming to Islam more and more every day? We get, I think the figures are at least 7-8 people a day accepting Islam in England alone, which is, subhanAllah, significant.
And there is only one answer, inshallah. Allah is changing the world. And And Allah is changing the world, and this is the time for scientific evidences. It is proven that Darwinism is materialism is wrong, and mm-hmm. Allah is the creator of everything. So people are being convinced. And as you remember, Darwinism controlled 99% of the world in the 20th century. However, with the scientific evidences and the struggle with the scientific evidences, or Mr. Harun Yahya, Mr. Adnan Oktar, we have been very successful all around the world and shown the people that Darwinism is wrong. Allah is the creator of the everything, and science proves that. Science is anti-atheist, anti-Darwinist, and anti-materialist. And mm-hmm. if you clean up the minds of the people, because the Darwinism made it like a dirt, it entered the brains of the people in the 20th century. However, with these scientific evidences, struggle with the scientific evidences, we clean up the minds of the people. And then the second step is to give them the science leading to faith, scientific science leading to faith. Inshallah, there is a third step, miracles of the Quran, scientific miracles of the Quran. And after that, a person who believes that there is a creator, Allah is the creator, he has infinite power and wisdom, inshallah, of course he will follow up the Quran. But we cannot start saying people, you should pray or you should go pilgrimage and you should fast. First we have to clean up the minds. And mm-hmm. Brother Harun Yahya, Adnan Oktar, has been very successful, alhamdulillah, in the 200 countries of the world. We destroyed we broke the backbone of Darwinism scientifically, and we destroyed its brain scientifically, alhamdulillah. That's the reason why there is a progress in the Islam, inshallah.
Okay. So before we go on, what I'd like to do is, for any new listeners that have joined the show that have not listened before, just basically give an introduction for yourself, inshallah, that obviously you're representing the Harun Yahya organization. So, Dr. Bhuvana, just for a quick 15, 20 seconds, can you tell us something about yourself and also about the Harun Yahya organization, and also maybe Brother Adnan Oktar as well, a little bit how you got involved as well, just for maybe there might be more listeners listening, inshallah, as well.
Inshallah. My name is Oktar Bhuvana. I'm a medical doctor, brain surgeon, neurosurgeon from Turkey, and I speak on behalf of Mr. Harun Yahya. Harun Yahya is the pen name or Mr. Adnan Oktar, who has written more than 300 books, science, faith, and politics related, and his website is www.harunyahya.com. And his books are translated to more than 75 languages. And I've been all around the world, gave more than 1,000 conferences, been on many TV programs, radio shows, all around the world on behalf of Mr. Adnan Oktar, struggling against Darwinism, materialism, spreading the truth of Islam, inshallah. And this has been since 15 years that I've been together with Brother Adnan Oktar, alhamdulillah.
MashaAllah, very good, very good, very excellent. One question I do want to raise regarding your experience. The popular figure in England, and obviously he's publicized a lot of his works, is Professor Richard Dawkins. He made a couple of BBC documentaries. One of them was The God Delusion, and he also is on the same circuit of evolutionary biology, and very much on promoting Darwin's theory of evolution. Have you come across any encounters with him, any discussions, any debates?
Yes, actually. And I've been on a radio show hosted by George Galloway, the parliament from UK, as you know.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Yeah, on his radio show, I was against Richard Dawkins. First, Richard Dawkins was invited, then me from Turkey on behalf of Mr. Harun Yahya. But he escaped. He tried not to join the program after he heard my name. But George Galloway said in the program, during the program, I will make him join the program. In fact, he did. After I talked, I gave the evidences which refute Darwinism. 20 minutes after I talked, that was in 2006, November 2006, he joined the program. He did not respond. He just introduced his book and he hung up. Then his people, Channel 4 people in United Kingdom, to my conferences in King's College of London. And then they said they have a program. Richard Dawkins had a program in Channel 4 that was in 2009, I guess, or 2008 maybe. Anyway, so they said, we want to bring you against Richard Dawkins together. I said, fine. Then I went back to Turkey. They contacted me and they invited him, but he escaped. He didn't want to join during a live TV program. He goes into debate with everybody, with priests, with rabbis, with school children, college students, but he escapes Mr. Harun Yahya. Mr. Harun Yahya actually invited him with whole page advertisements in Times newspaper in the UK. And also a famous TV channel over here, they contacted Richard Dawkins, offered him money for a debate with Mr. Adnan Oktar, but he escapes. He always escapes. He knows he doesn't have to say anything, and he will be destroyed in a couple of minutes because he doesn't have anything. He doesn't say have to say anything. Inshallah.
Sure. Alhamdulillah. I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, we see a lot of publicity through the BBC, through the documentaries that they make, and obviously they present only one side of the argument, and we never get to hear the other side of the argument, i.e., has he challenged Brother Harun Yahya? Has he made any recommendations?
But you know,
because a lot of these people, they make their points, and you only see their viewpoints, and they try and say, oh, well, this person's not engaging, or they don't really have a strong evidence, therefore, that's why I'm correct.
Well, actually, you know what happened? Since Mr. Adnan Oktar closed all the gates around him, again, around Darwinism, the last point he came is, that the last step, he said, he was actually, as you know, he was claiming, like every other Darwinist, that proteins emerge by chance in all of his books. And that was his main claim, actually. You know what he said most recently? He said he admitted that proteins and the life could not have emerged in the Earth by chance, but aliens from the space brought seeded life to Earth. So he admitted that, actually, life could not have emerged by chance, as Darwinism claims. Now he's asking aliens for help. Then, of course, we ask, who created the aliens? And also, most recently, he said, he doesn't want to live in a Darwinist world, he said. Darwinism is very bad, he said, harmful. So he doesn't want to live in a Darwinist world. He actually proposed that in a TV show.
Mm-hmm. Okay, fair enough. All right, let's move on back to the topic at hand, inshallah. And I think the question after we look at so many people coming to Islam would be, why is Islam so popular now? Is it just a fashion stage that it's going through? Because there are lots of discussions. Nearly every single day in England, in every single newspaper, there will be some article about Islam, positive or negative, but there will be something. In the news, in the British news, there will be something mentioned throughout the day about Islam or something connected to Muslims. Why do we see this, Dr. Babuna?
Well, there has been a struggle between believers and non-believers since Adam alayhi salam, inshallah. That's the sunnatullah of Allah, inshallah. So now, in the end times, there's a feature of the end times. First, Dajjal system, Darwinism and materialism, will be a progress, and this belief system will dominate the world. And this happened in the 20th century, at the beginning of the end times. But however, after that, as a feature of the end times, Allah says, through the hadiths, through revelation to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah will prevail his religion. And that's a promise of Allah from the Quran, inshallah, in fact. So this is exactly what is happening. But the cause of this, as a cause Allah created that actually, is Darwinism and materialism is going down. Since Darwinism and materialism is going down, atheism is collapsing. Atheism has collapsed. And as in fact, people started to understand all around the world that there is a creator. And of course, as a second step, they see the scientific evidences of creation. And as a consequence of that, they look for religion. And anybody who reads Quran, even one page, it is even the children can understand straight mind, that's the revelation of Allah, inshallah. And they will follow it. That's the reason why there is a progress of Islam. And people started to understand also, inshallah, alhamdulillah, Islam is a religion of peace. It gives freedom of thought, freedom of worship, and it brings protection, security, justice, tolerance to the entire world. Inshallah, this is what's going to happen very soon, inshallah.
Okay, alhamdulillah. Okay, for all the listeners out there, this is the Hidden Agenda Show, part of Knowledge Hour on your Ramadan radio station in Reading called Wunuma FM. Give us a call, 018-975-8300, or send us a text on 07909-567-527. If you have any questions, we have my live international guest from the Harun Yahya organization, Dr. Babuna, who is international speaker and representative for Harun Yahya, a.k.a. Adnan Oktar. And this is your Ramadan radio show, Hidden Agenda with Naz, and we are live. So if you do have any questions, you have any points, let us know. The subject we're discussing at the moment is, why is Islam so popular, and why do we see an uprising of it? And also, I'm going to be moving on to some more interesting questions as well that we obviously experienced in the media in England. So alhamdulillah. Dr. Babuna, next question I want to ask really is about all the media's focus that has been since 9/11. There's been a lot of focus on the media about Islam and all the atrocities that have been done, some people say, you know, by Muslims. And the question really is that what can you say about the income irreconcilability, i.e. a conflict between Islam and what we see in the media terrorism? Wherever we see a media article, we will see two words. We will see these two words, Islam, terrorism, or Islam, and some other words related to this in the same sentence. So we see the events like 9/11, and we see, again, there's a lot of labeling going on, stereotyping of who did that. We see 7/7, which is specific to England, 7th of July, where they say that a number of Muslims carried out atrocities. And then we see a lot of newspaper articles as well, where there's a lot of relative statements made, where they say Muslims on one hand and terrorism activities on the other. How do we see this? How do we explain this to the non-Muslims? How does Islam fit into this and this conflict of interest, you can say, between the two?
Well, Islam is definitely religion of peace. Allah says in one verse, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. This is Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 208. Mm-hmm. Allah says, O you who believe, enter absolutely into peace, Islam. Do not follow in the footsteps of Satan, Allah says. So Islam derives from the word slim, and that means peace. Inshallah, Islam is a religion of peace. It is a great sin, according to Islam, to kill an innocent person, Allah says in the Quran. If someone kills another person, it is as if he had murdered all mankind. So killing one innocent person is like killing all mankind. And Allah goes on, and if anyone gives life to another person, it is as if he had given life to all mankind. It is impossible to be a terrorist and a Muslim at the same time. Some Muslims carrying Muslim identities, Muslim names, does not mean anything. The terror they perpetrated cannot be labeled as Islamic terror. Or if they were Christians, for example, it cannot be labeled as Christian terror. Or if it is a Jewish terror, it cannot be labeled as Jewish terror. If they have Jewish names, it cannot be labeled as Jewish terror. There is no killing innocent people according to religion. What happened is, these people who act as terrorists, they have been through Darwinist education in countries like US or UK or many European countries. They have been through Darwinist materialist education. Darwinism is the source of violence and the terror, because the concepts of Darwinism brings us to struggle for survival of the fittest, and then conflict is the cause of the progress. So you have to crush the weak individuals to stay alive. And Darwin legitimized violence by claiming that humans are in essence animals struggling for survival. So if you put the subconscious mind of the people, these ideas, it inevitably leads to violence and the terror. And these terrors have been through Darwinist education. But also, Darwinism has controlled not only the Western world, but also the Islamic countries. Darwinism entered Ottoman Empire collapsed. Darwinism controlled Palestine, Egypt, Tunisia, Jordan, all the Muslim countries. And as you know, Arab socialism has emerged, which is a mild form of Marxism, and Arab nationalism. And because of Darwinism and materialism, we have seen some terrorists. But terror is it is not compatible with religion at all. Somebody cannot be a Muslim and a terrorist. Terrorism is haram. There is no killing innocent people. And in fact, according to the Quran, we have to protect the people of the book, the Jews, the Christians, and also we have to protect even the idolaters. Allah says, if mushrikin, the idolaters, ask the Muslims for help, aman, Allah says, then you have to bring them into a place where they are going to be secure. So Muslims are protective, they protect the needy, they never harm innocent people. It is a great sin and haram.
Well, okay, I mean, the other thing I want to highlight here, maybe in support of what you're saying, is Anders Breivik, which obviously we know they did a significantly disgusting act of terrorism in his own country, Norway. But the thing is that before it actually happened, you know, we had newspapers making statements, oh, it must be Al-Qaeda, it must be a Muslim, or it must be Norway 911. These type of statements happened early on before they actually got the evidence who did it and why he did it. And then later they found out that he was actually Christian in terms of belief. So do we see that the media is not always fair to the Muslims?
Yes, but there is another reason, actually, I will give you. Because of Darwinism and materialism, radicalism has emerged among Muslims, among Christians, and among Jews. Radicalism.
Okay.
But radicalism is incompatible with the Quran. There is no anger and enmity. Allah says for Muslims to treat the people of the world, only argue with them in the kindest way, Allah says. There is, Muslims have a very nice style, soft-spoken, and treat the people very nicely, has to treat. But radicalism has emerged because of Darwinism and materialism, but it is incompatible. The only way to treat radicalism and bigotry is education. The real Quran, okay. Quran, inshallah, Islam, and also scientific education, the scientific evidences to remove Darwinism and materialism and radicalism, inshallah. So it can only be done through education.
Could you define radicalization? How do you see radicalism? What is it and how does it affect people? How do people become radicalized? Or what does it mean to define that in a bit more detail?
Well, radicalism means to advocate sudden and fundamental changes based on uncompromising and hardline policies. So no matter what which side radicalism comes, this is one of the greatest dangers for the world agenda. And as I said, radicalism has emerged in not only among Muslims, but Christians and Jews also. But this is because of the bigotry and the source of radicalism, this enmity, hatred, and extremism is not because of religion. The source is not religion, but it is a third world fanaticism, which is mixed up with Darwinism and materialism. So the only way to treat this is through education. There is no other way. Actually, education and media should refrain from sensationalism. So it is very important that we teach Quran and the scientific evidences of the creation, miracles of the Quran, because in the Quran, Allah tells us, for example, remember in with Moses alayhi salam, Allah sends Moses alayhi salam to the Pharaoh of his time. Yeah. But Allah says to speak with him very softly, very gentle. Allah knows Pharaoh is a psychotic person. And Allah created him in the hell, actually. However, Allah tells Moses alayhi salam to speak in a gentle way. That's the style of a Muslim. We always treat other people very nicely. Stay away from radicalism, stay away from extremism. There is compassion, mercy, love, tolerance, justice in Islam. So this is exactly the way a Muslim should be, inshallah.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, I mean, some people can say that not everyone is such an intellectual. Not everyone can appreciate deep scientific answers and the depth, especially that sometimes, you know, is given, especially with the proofs of the Quran. And some people say, I became a Muslim simply because I believed, and someone else gave me a convincing argument that this is the word of God, and that's enough for me. I do not really need to go into deep scientific understanding, i.e., some people are not even aware of Darwinism and Darwin theory, but they still believe. So how do you account for those Muslims who simply believe and they follow Islam and they don't necessarily need to have detailed scientific discussions?
Well, actually, we have to look in the Quran. And Allah orders us to study science, to investigate, to ponder, and deeply think, inshallah. Allah orders us that. For example, in a verse, Allah says, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. Don't you look at the camel, how it was created. And Allah says, don't you look at the sky, how it was created, how it was raised up. So Allah wants us to look at the sky, for example, and how could that be done with the telescope through science. And if you look at the camel, how it was created, we need molecular biology, we need genetics, we need zoology. And Allah also says, there are evidences of the creation in yourselves, in our bodies, and all around you, Allah says, you will see the evidences of creation, inshallah. So to do that, to able to do that, we need to study science. We need science as a tool, inshallah. So Allah orders us to study science, actually, in the Quran. That's an order of Allah. It's a farz, actually. It's a religious obligation. So by doing this, we appreciate the infinite wisdom, infinite power, and artistry of Allah. Science is to glorify Allah, actually. The science glorifies Allah, infinite existence, alhamdulillah. So it is every Muslim's obligation to study science and also struggle and intellectual struggle against Darwinism and materialism, because this is the system of the Dajjal, Antichrist, and this is the dominating system which caused corruption, bloodshed all around the world. So Allah says, struggle in the way of Allah. That's an order from Allah. Struggle in the way of Allah until there is no more fitna, corruption. So to do that, we have to do an intellectual struggle against Darwinism and materialism. It can only be done intellectually with scientific evidences. So every Muslim, also every Christian and Jew is obliged to do this intellectual struggle against Darwinism and materialism.
Sure. Okay, I mean, on Tuesday on my show, I had another Turkish brother, mashallah, who's living here in the UK. And we discussed about Turkey, how it was in the past and where it is at present. What kind of contributions did Turkey make, especially now it was significantly a world superpower, you know, in the previous centuries, you know, through the Ottoman state, the Ottoman Empire. So I just wanted to maybe spend a few minutes on that, Dr. Babuna, and just have a look at the contribution that Turkey made, especially when it was ruled under the Quran and Sunnah, under the Ottoman state, and what kind of benefits it brought to Europe, because a lot of people say Islam does not benefit Europe and should be taken out of Europe. So what can we say that Islam was part of Europe? Islam expanded even to as far as Spain, brought clean water, brought health, hygiene, or hospitals. What can we say for Turkey when Turkey was ruled by Islam through the Ottoman state? What can we say it gave to Europe and to the world, actually?
Yes, that was... Of course, Ottoman Empire, we can actually define the existence of the Ottoman Empire as the unity of the Muslims, because Muslims united. There was a whole peace, actually, all around the world. And there was a great civilization and progress in science, and they built cities and architecture. But it is not the ideal model, of course, because the Ottoman Empire was an army with army force. However, at the end times, inshallah, at the time of the Mahdi, alayhi salam, it will be only intellectually with scientific evidences. And Islam will dominate the rule, the entire world, inshallah, Islamic morality. If there is a unity of Islam, like, for example, at the time of the Ottoman Empire, the Jews and the Christians were treated very nicely, as you might remember. They were brought, the Jews were brought from the Spain, because in Spain they were oppressed under the Catholic regime of that time. They were oppressed. And Ottomans, as an obligation which is ordered by Allah, they brought the Jews to the Ottoman Empire, and there are at least 25,000 Jews now living in the Turkey. They are the descendants of the Jews during the time of the Ottoman Empire, and there are Christians also. So basically, it's a model, but it's not an ideal model, because Mehdism, Mehdi model is, will be much, much, much better, because it will bring a progress in the science, technology, and arts. It will bring complete democracy, because democracy is in the essence of the religion. Allah says in the Quran, that's an order, there is no compulsion in religion. I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan. There is no compulsion in religion. That means there is freedom of thought. Anybody can believe anything they want to, but Muslims are obliged to enjoin the right and forbid the wrong. But a person who wants to believe in anything is free in that. You cannot force to believe in anything. It's haram. So, inshallah, Mehdism, Mehdi alayhi salam will bring democracy, justice, tolerance, compassion, mercy, love, freedom of thought, and freedom of worship to the entire world, inshallah. So that will be the best model of the entire human history, our Prophet says, because it will be a golden age, inshallah.
Right, okay. So I mean, going back to the Ottoman state, were we not based on the Quran and Sunnah then? Were we not based on implementation of Islam, and were the Jews and the Christians not secure and treated well?
Yeah, it's...
Under the Ottoman state, you're saying it's not the perfect model. So, was it not representing Islam then, are we saying? Or are we saying that it did represent Islam?
No. Well, what I'm saying is, it was done with army force. But at the time of the Mehdi, alayhi salam, there will be no bloodshed, not a drop of blood, inshallah. Mehdi, alayhi salam, will stop all the wars, all the bloodshed in the world, not only in locally, like in Middle East or in one part of the world, but in the entire world, because our Prophet says in the Hadith, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, There will be no, not even a single tent or a house will remain in the world where Islam will not enter. So Islam will control the entire world, Islamic morality, with return of Isa alayhi salam, inshallah. And the and the treatment of people of the book is described in detail in the Quran. Allah wants us to treat them very nicely with compassion and mercy. And I'll give you some examples from the Quran, evidences from the Quran actually. Allah says in one verse, I seek refuge in Allah from a cursed Satan for the people of the book. They are not all the same, Allah says. There is a community among the people of the book who are upright. They recite the signs of Allah throughout the night and then they prostrate. They believe in Allah and the last day, enjoin the right and forbid the wrong and compete in doing good. That means there are sincere believers between Christians and Jews. Allah tells us that in the Quran. So not everybody is this, not every people of the book is the same, Allah says. And Allah also says that we believe in the same prophets, we love the same prophets, we believe in the same Allah. There is a lot of commonality between people of the book and between the Muslims. For example, Allah says in the Quran, the messenger believes in what has been sent down to him by his Lord, and so do the believers. Each one believes in Allah and his angels and his books and his messengers. We do not differentiate between any of his messengers. They say we hear and we obey. Forgive us our Lord. So we do not differentiate between messengers. Moses alayhi salam is our prophet also. Isa alayhi salam, Suleyman alayhi salam, Davud alayhi salam, David alayhi salam, inshallah, Joseph, Abraham, Jacob alayhi salam are all our prophets also. We love them and we obey them. And we also believe in Bible, Gospel and the Torah because Allah revealed them original forms. Of course, they are changed afterwards, but some parts are compatible with the Quran. And Allah wants us to argue with the people of the book in the kindest way, Allah says in the Quran. And also, Allah also allows the Muslim man, Allah also allows the Muslim man in the Quran to marry Christian wives and Christian the Christian wives and Jewish wives. I'm going to read the verse, inshallah. Allah says, so are chaste women from among the believers and the chaste women of those given the book before you, once you have given them their dowries in marriage, not in fornication or taking them as lovers. But as for anyone who disbelieves, his action will come to nothing, and in the hereafter he will be among the losers. Surah Al-Maidah 5. So that means Muslims are allowed, as long as they are chaste women, to marry Christian and Jewish wives. In fact, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had a Christian and Jewish wife, as you know. So at
the time that might be the point, but I mean, let's just take some of the points that you've made, okay? And I do not think a lot of people would agree with them, but there obviously is a difference of opinion on this.
Okay. I mean, Trinity is, of course, wrong. Allah curses Trinity in the Quran. However, so we have to invite them to the oneness of Allah. Allah says in the Quran, say, O people of the book, let us rally to a common formula to be binding on both us and you, that we worship none but God, that we associate no partners with Him, that we erect not from among ourselves lords and patrons other than God. So invite them to the oneness of Allah. However, that is not a reason to treat them with enmity and hatred. And also remember, I read you just recited from the Quran a verse that Allah says, there are sincere believers among Christians and among Jews. That means there are believers in between the Christians that they do not accept Trinity and they believe in the oneness of Allah and they accept Isa alayhi salam as the prophet and also our prophet as a prophet. We know that we know some that kind of Christians actually in person. But important is Allah says us in the Quran, they are not all the same, Allah says. And Allah allows us.
I don't think I've come across any that would agree with that. Let's move on to the issues that you mentioned about ruling. Inshallah, you mentioned about ruling and the Mahdi state. Just about Islamic ruling, if you look at the rule and the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam set up Medina, for example, and you look generally about Islamic ruling, you see that some of the best books that have been out there about this subject have been by Imam Mawardi, Al-Arkan, for example, like As-Sultaniyah, or Nizam al-Hukm. These books give us very detailed specifics of what should be the correct model for the Muslim state. And they give quite detailed references. That's number one. Number two, Turkey itself, we've seen, was at the best when it implemented Islam. And secularism and democracy have not been positive. And you see here in England, when they're trying to promote democracy in all the different lands in Iraq or Afghanistan, it has been total failure.
Yes. The only model we can have is from the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you know, just related to the people of the book, the constitution of Medina protected the people of the book very nicely at the time of our Prophet, because he followed, our Prophet followed the Quran and Sunnah, inshallah.
Turkey itself, we've seen, was at the best when it implemented Islam. And you see here in England, when they're trying to promote democracy in all the different lands in Iraq or Afghanistan, it has been total failure.
Yes, the only model we can have is from the time of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As you know, just related to the people of the book, the constitution of Medina protected the people of the book very nicely at the time of our Prophet, because he followed, our Prophet followed the Quran and Sunnah, inshallah. Well, the only reference is our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What important is what our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, because he speaks with the revelation of Allah. There are hundreds of different hadiths stating the signs of the end times, the appearance of the Mahdi, the Mahdi's existence, his even physical features are described in detail. So we only take as reference the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in the Quran, Allah orders, Allah promises us the domination of the Islam, inshallah. And I'm going to read the verse. It's Surah An-Nur 55. Allah says, I seek refuge in Allah from Maker Satan. Allah has promised those of you, there's a promise of Allah, who have faith and do right actions. That means sincere believers, Mahdi and his students, inshallah, that he will make them successors in the land. Make successors means that they will rule and govern, inshallah.
Yes. So anyway, let's move on to the present state of Turkey, Dr. Bulguna. What would you say is the present state of Turkey? Does Turkey represent Islam currently today?
Turkey, of course, is not an ideal role model, but it will be, inshallah, with the Mahdi, inshallah. Mahdi has appeared, must have appeared, we know this from the signs, and Mahdi will appear from Istanbul, Turkey, inshallah. So because this is described in the hadith of our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is, we have to unite. That's the bottom line. So Muslims are ordered by Allah, hold fast to the rope of Allah, and do not separate, Allah says. So separation is haram. So we have to unite every day. Every day we spend in separation is haram. So we have to unite as soon as possible. That will solve all these problems. And of course, if we establish the Islamic Union, the unity of Islam, of course there will be a leader of that. For example, European community has a leader. There's the leader of the Christians, the Pope. There's a president of the states or prime ministers. Of course, there will be a leader of the Islamic unity. And this is called Mahdi, whether you call it Mahdi or not. This is Mahdi alayhi salam, inshallah, because unity of Islam is an order from Allah. That's the bottom line. And this is the greatest religious obligation, says Bediüzzaman Said Nursi. Hazrat Bediüzzaman Said Nursi, his great Islamic scholar, says, the greatest religious obligation of this time is the unity of Islam. If we could unite, if we would unite, this will bring the solution to all the problems. This will stop the wars, this will stop the bloodshed, and this will bring great power, wealth, peace and democracy to the entire world. And that's a feature of the end times. Because we understand we are in the end times because the Dajjal system of the Dajjal, Antichrist, is the greatest in the end times. And we have seen 350 million people were killed in the 20th century. And 1 million were injured because of fascism, communism, anarchism, terrorism, and Darwinism and materialism, basically. So,
Now let's take on one word that you're using the word democracy. Do you think this is part of Islam?
Absolutely. Allah says, I seek refuge in Allah from a curse of Satan. There is no compulsion in religion. That means there is total freedom of worship and thought in Islam. And this is real democracy. In the world, there is no real democracy. Democracy is not election. That is nothing. Because there is no real democracy in the Western countries also. For example, in the United States or United Kingdom, if you are against Darwinism in the universities, for example, you become expelled. You cannot become a professor, or you fail, if you're a student, you fail the test. And that means, of course, there is no freedom of thought. There is no real democracy. But real democracy is in the essence of Islam. You tell the people, you warn them with scientific evidences that Allah is the creator, and they have to follow the Quran, the revelation of Allah. But whether they believe or not, that is their choice, Allah says. We have to protect them.
You cannot ever go astray if you follow the command of Allah, the Quran of Kareem, and the Sunnah of the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Absolutely.
And lastly, about the Mahdi, before the Mahdi is going to come, we know this in every Sahih authentic narration that Masih al-Dajjal is going to come. So if you're saying Mahdi is here or Isa al-Islam is here, then who is Dajjal? Masih al-Dajjal.
Obviously, the Dajjal system, Dajjal, is all over the world. There are many Muslims are being martyred, 100,000, millions of them, in Iraq and Afghanistan, in East Turkestan, in Somalia, in Chechnya, in uprising in the Muslim countries. So that is because of the system of the Dajjal. That means Dajjal is active, alive, actually, because his system is dominating the world. And that also shows us, with the science which came all to be true, is stated in the Hadiths, that Mehdi must be alive also, and Isa a.s. must have returned. We see the evidences. It is very obvious, even the children can understand, Allah is changing the world. Allah made the system of Dajjal dominate the world, first of all. That's the first part of the end times described in the Hadiths. But in the second part, inshallah, Islam will prevail. And as you stated at the beginning of this speech, you said there is a progress of Islam. And how did this happen? Because we are in the end times, inshallah, and Mehdi must be active. That's the reason why there is a progress of Islam, inshallah.
Okay, so from your opinion, it seems like you think that Mahdi is a system. Well, if you look at the Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim, which is authentic and there's many narrations of this, we see the Prophet mentioning, Ibn Umar said, the Prophet mentioned the Dajjal to his people. He said, Allah is not one-eyed, but Dajjal is blind in his right eye, and his eye is like a floating grey. Anas Ibn Malik, radiallahu anhu, very famous Sahabi, said, that the Prophet said, there has never been a prophet who did not warn his people against a one-eyed liar. Verily, he is one-eyed, and your Lord is not one-eyed. On his forehead will be written the letter Qaf Fa Ra, i.e. Kafir. Now, this is from Sahih Muslim and Bukhari. So, it's very evident and very clear that if it is a system, where is the forehead? Forehead only relates to living creatures, i.e. human beings, and these letters are on the forehead. Unless you have a different interpretation of that.
No, I think you misunderstood. I never said that Dajjal is not a person, but what matters is, what most important is the system of the Dajjal. That is the harmful one. Dajjal is a person, and Bediüzzaman Said Nursi says, the great Islamic scholar, even a common cold, a virus can kill this person. A person is nothing. But the system of the Dajjal, which is Darwinism, is materialism, is harmful. Of course, there is a person we will see, inshallah, as Dajjal.
Okay, inshallah. Alhamdulillah.
Dajjal is a person, Mehdi is a person, and Isa alayhi salam, inshallah.
Yeah, and we know in a chronological manner, Mahdi will only come after Masih al-Dajjal has come. So Masih al-Dajjal will come, then Mahdi will come, and Isa alayhi salam will come. So we know that before Isa alayhi salam, Mahdi will come, the Dajjal, Masih al-Dajjal as an individual, as well as system, whatever that is, but certainly as an individual, he will be here. So, if we are to make a claim that Mahdi is here or Isa al-Salam is here, then we need to also have evidence of Masih al-Dajjal being here. Do you agree?
Absolutely. We have more than 200 evidences, actually.
Okay.
You want me to give the evidences?
Yes.
Yes, okay. Stated in the Hadiths. More than 200 signs. Our Prophet said, our Prophet gives a timing also. According to this calendar, our Prophet says, the life of this world, and this is related by Imam Suyuti, great Hadith scholar, the life of this world is 7,000 years, and 5,600 years are over. That means 1,400 years are left. And our Prophet also says, the life of my Ummah will not pass more than 1,500 years, Hijra style. So, since we are living in 1432, we must have the Mehdi alive, because our Prophet says also in the Hadith that people will start accumulate around Mehdi, beginning Hijra 1,400, and he gives a sign for the appearance of the Mehdi, and that is the bloody attack to the Kaaba in one Hadith. Did this happen? Yes, that what happened the first day of 1,400. This is the 21st of November 1979, the first Muharram of 1400 Hijra. And then after that, our Prophet also gave the signs, Iran-Iraqi war, the occupation of the Iraq, and stopping the flow of the Euphrates. It's a river in Turkey, which was stopped in 1975 with the Kevan Dam for the first time in the history of life. And sun and moon eclipses, our Prophet said, in the month of Ramadan, two following years, okay? And this happened in 1981, in 1982, two following years, in the month of Ramadan. Sun and moon eclipses 15 days apart. And also, occupation of the Afghanistan that happened in 1980, and also there will be a fire which illuminates the night like a day, and people who are sleeping will stand up, people are standing will sit down, and this happened as independent of tanker explosion in front of Istanbul. And our Prophet says, this is the time for coming of the Mahdi. So we understand this is the time for the coming of the Mahdi to Istanbul, because in the Hadith our Prophet says, Mahdi will conquer Medina. Medina means city in the Arabic. And the companions of the Prophet ask him, which Medina, Ya Rasulullah? And our Prophet says, Constantinople. So we understand Mahdi will emerge from Turks in Istanbul, but he will be a Sayyid, a descendant of our Prophet. And our Prophet also gave his physical signs.
Okay, inshallah. Okay, we're running out of time. In conclusion, in the times that we live today and the way forward, what would you say to the listeners of one of my FM as some action points of what they could do? You know, can you give us details about the websites, about some of the recommended actions that you would advise the Muslims or non-Muslims in action points in today's society, inshallah? We've just got another two or three minutes to do wrap up, inshallah.
Yes, inshallah. Our Prophet orders in one of the hadiths to give the glad tidings of Mahdi. This is exactly what we are doing. This is a glad tiding of for the entire humanity. With Isa alayhi salam and Mahdi alayhi salam, Islam will prevail the world, and it will bring happiness to the entire world. It will stop the wars, the bloodshed, and all the pains all around the world, inshallah. This is a glad tiding. And of course, our Prophet also says, Mahdi will emerge at a time when some people will say, there is no Mahdi. And this is another sign in the hadith, and it's exactly happening, because this is the first time since 1,400 years that so many people are against Mahdism, and they say there is no more Mahdi. And our Prophet also says there will be 70,000 bigot, false scholars with turbans, he says, with turbans, that they will against Mahdism on the side of Dajjal. And one of them, and this is a hypocrite, in the city of Istanbul, he states that. So this is exactly what is happening in the entire world. But in mostly 10 years, inshallah.
My question is more on the angle of Darwinism and the other areas that you do, scientific arguments that you presented, which you presented, mashallah, very well. So if people have questions on creationism and Darwinism and evolution, what should be the best way? Do they need to go to the website, or are there seminars? Do you run courses? How do people empower themselves with this knowledge?
Okay, very good, inshallah. They can visit the website www.harunyahya.com and download any of his books. He has many books about scientific refutation of Darwinism. And I will give you two very powerful evidences now, very shortly, very briefly. The first one is the impossibility of the emergence of the proteins by chance. For a single protein to be produced, other proteins must exist, enzymes. That defeats Darwinism completely. Not enough, the DNA must exist. A complete living cell must exist for a single protein to be produced. That means proteins cannot be produced by chance in the natural events. That defeats Darwinism completely. Okay. Then the second powerful evidence is, they can use this against Darwinists all the time, there are 350 million fossils we have today. More than enough. 350 million fossils tells us there is not even a single transitional form between the species. So species appear abruptly, complete, and perfectly formed, which is admitted by Charles Darwin, Stephen Jay Gould, Gneis Eldridge, the most prominent Darwinist fossil scientist. There are no transitional forms, means, of course, there is no evolution. Allah did not create through evolution, and there is nothing about evolution in the Quran.
Alhamdulillah. Okay, Dr. Baruna, we've definitely got over time. The next presenter will work, inshallah. JazakAllah khair for your time, and please give our salam and du'as to the Harun Yahya organization. I know you guys are doing a lot of work, inshallah. I would also say, please take some time and discuss about the state, the Islamic State, and the Maghrebis, because I think there's also, we can learn from each other in this way as well. But certainly in this area of creationism and mashallah, the work that you guys have done is fantastic and really benefits. So I'd like to offer your time yet again, and give our regards to everyone in Turkey, and assalam to Harun Yahya organization, inshallah.
Alaykum salam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, and Harun Yahya, brother Harun Yahya, sent his salam, all the Muslim brothers and sisters there, inshallah. And we hope to be with you again. It was my pleasure and honor for me, inshallah. And inshallah, in mostly 10 years, we will see this golden age, the glad tidings of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, mashallah. Salaamu alaykum.
Okay. Alaykum salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.